It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Oh, we're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and another unafeared individual. Kay Beach stayed over a little bit because I want to talk more about the documentary about Oklahoma City. I'm kind of surprised that they're, well, I guess I shouldn't be surprised because a lot of the technology didn't exist back then that you're able to do. I mean, we have top of the line make documentary film cameras here. I mean, we're all over it. These guys walk around with their $3,000 cameras getting all kinds of goodies. You know, later we'll have Thomas Costanzo, our sales manager here, come in this weekend. They did a lot of 9/11 stuff going on and had their confrontations, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But the Oklahoma City documentary, when that comes out, what do you think the message is going to be? What's going to be learned from it, Kay?
Well, the guys at Fremont Films basically say that it will forever change the way that you look at the face of terrorism. And I have only a small part to play in this. And like I said, you can't poke around any part of it without having your eyes opened. And I would say I think that they're going to accomplish that. I helped with one of the interviews they did. There is a lady named Wendy Painting from New York who became interested in the Oklahoma City bombing and has done a tremendous amount of research on her own over years and years. And this research has never really been presented before, and it was mind-blowing. Basically, she went, one of the things she did is she went down to Austin, Texas, and she spent 2 weeks in that repository. All the information that is for public eye, although I think she's probably one of the few people, if not the only one, that wasn't a lawyer or something. So she spent 2 weeks in there with those documents. And they contain things like transcripts of Timothy McVeigh's family talking without knowing that they were being wiretapped. And so she got a real good sense of the personalities at play. And she also found out some things, and I'm not supposed to talk about a whole lot of it, but this is one of the things that just blew me away. You ever heard of a guy named Jolyon West?
No.
Was involved with the MK Ultra project, and you might remember he killed an elephant at OU with LSD. So if you were going to talk Dr. Mind Control, this would be your guy. And he was involved as some sort of a psychologist or something with some of the very famous assassins like Saran Saran and Jack Ruby and things like that. Well, a lot of people don't know that he was involved with Timothy McVeigh's case as well, and there's some very interesting information that emerges from all of those records that she looked at. I mean, like I said, my eyes have been opened.
You got the psychologist that was, with Sirhan, and with a lot of other guys in the MK Ultra thing, and all of a sudden he turns up having a link to Timothy McVeigh.
Right. And you can do a search on Jolly West. That's kind of what he went by. And to say he was a psychologist probably isn't accurate. I mean, he's a world-famous researcher, and I believe might have been involved with this isn't my area of expertise, but a lot of the weird stuff, like with Project Paperclip and a lot of the stuff that they were doing with LSD experiments and CIA and all this stuff. So he's a creepy fella. And some of the things that turned up, like I said, from her searches for those records, and she lived in there for 2 weeks and has done a lot of research on her own. That's one aspect that I know a little bit about just from, you know, helping with that interview. And it's pretty mind-blowing. Like I said, the stuff that I can speak to is, you know, if you look at the right-wing extremism report, the MIAC report, Project Megiddo, those are just a few. There's a whole lot more I found of similar type of reports that come out. Because one of the things I'm supposed to do is find out how this militia, Oklahoma City bombing, right-wing extremism things being used to demonize people. And you saw it around April 19th with Clinton, you know, basically conflating Tea Party people with Timothy McVeigh and all of this sort of thing. It's a very effective way of quelling dissent. And it, like I said, pretty mind-blowing when you find out that the Southern Poverty Law Center, the depth that they have been involved with law enforcement, they are training law enforcement. One thing that all of those projects I just mentioned, Magetto, Right-Wing Extremist Report, and the MIAC Report all have in common is a source of information in the Southern Poverty Law Center.
You know, I asked him about that. I talked to Heidi and I said, you know, tell me where you, it was, you know, racism and abuse of civil rights and the black community and on and on and on. Where'd you guys, how do you do all this? Because I had been, came to their attention back in 94. I was on the top of one of their lists because they listed all these militias, and all it was a political action committee that we did around an initiative to get unrestricted concealed carry here in Arizona, which eventually we just got here now a few months ago, to where in Arizona you can carry a concealed weapon without a permit or permission. You know, so I'm, you know, we've been working on this for 15 years, just hammering on it as a political issue, and finally just go, all right, fine. Arizona's a third state, you know, Vermont, Alaska, Arizona. There, shut up. Well, we got plenty to keep going on about. But, you know, at that time, we had this political action committee called SAFE, Second Amendment is for Everyone. And they put me at the top of their militia list because it was Arizona, you know, an A state. And they go, Ernest Hancock. And I got Sheriff Arpaio calling me and he goes, hey, Ernie, man, you're on top of the list. I'm like, woohoo, I made it, you know? So I'm like, yeah, what does that mean? I mean, I didn't even own a gun at the time. What a lot of people didn't know, I didn't even own a gun. I was too poor. And I had a friend of mine gave me a handgun because he was embarrassed for me. But I understood the issue. The right. issue was the ability to defend yourself and against a tyrannical government even. Well, what happened? I'm asking Heidi about this. I'm like, how in the heck is it you guys get involved in this stuff? What does that have to do with civil rights? I mean, guns are a civil right. Well, she said what happened was is that when the FBI got outed by Congress in the 70s for them doing all this COINTELPRO stuff and them infiltrating all the civil rights movement and Martin Luther King and all that kind of stuff, that when they were outed, they stopped doing a lot of the surveillance, certainly legally. So they go, well, you know, you're not out there surveilling all the white supremacists and the KKK guys and all. So we'll do it for you. We will be your private arm. We will go out and do the research. We will be the guys going, looky, 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 that guy over there. And that's where they came from. And they got so embedded with law enforcement and how that they highlight the people that they want. So they're really the same thing. They're just another private wing. It's like having their own Contra war going on. They're privatizing of this investigative kind of what they want them to do. So that's where they came from.
Accurate as far as it goes.
She said it.
It is, but it goes much further than
that. Oh, I'm sure it does. But, I mean, that's kind of, you know, their justification to the public is that, well, you know, the government's not allowed to do all this infiltration, surveillance, kind of getting information. So we do it, give it to law enforcement, and say, these are the guys you need to go stop and get them because they got a Ron Paul bumper sticker on. And I'm going, oh.
You think maybe their political bent is...
Of course they are.
Of course it is, and this is the danger. And like I said earlier, I am more afraid of the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center, and I am not a hater nor a lawbreaker. I'm terrified. Well, I'm doing just the right thing to get on their radar, I'm sure. So, you know, if you look back to the ADL, a lot of people don't know this.
Anti-Defamation League, Jewish community, you're anti-Semitic, whatever.
Right. On political enemies that they were sharing back and forth. What would happen is, you're right, after... you know, some of the COINTELPRO, they said, get rid of those databases to the cops. So what the cops do? They gave them to the ADL. They gave them to some of these watchdog organizations who fed them right back to them. And there was a big lawsuit because the ADL had hundreds and hundreds of groups, and not just right-wing. It had left-wing. In fact, Guns Not Bombs was there. They're still mad about it. You know, and they had all this, you know, this was illegal. And they wore out the court system. You know, they had the money, and so it sort of faded away. But this sort of thing has been going on. And, you know, the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center will be the first ones to point out, and I don't know a lot about this history, it's a little bit too far back, that some organizations, some right-wing organizations back during the Red Scare was doing the same thing. And they were. Political organizations masquerading as civil rights organizations are dangerous. And the MIAC report, the right-wing extremism, all of those sites Southern Poverty Law Center, and the MIAC report reads like the report that came out right before that.
It was the report. They just signed off on it and added it to their thing. And that's what happened when these revolutionaries went to the governor of Missouri and going, are you sure you want to play this game? You know, and eventually got them to pull it because it was just, they came up against the activist. And
well, I found a lot more just like them, just like them. There was one in New Mexico back in 1998 preceding the Megiddo that they had people that were the Wise Youth movement. They were saying that it looks like to me that these organizations were real worried about the bringing of the right and left together. And you saw that with the
anti-war movement.
WTO, well, anti-war, WTO, they started demonizing the leftists as well.
Hey, thanks for staying extra with us, Kay. We obviously got to have you back. You'll come back on for us?
Of course.
You keep writing for Freedom's Phoenix. And Freedom's, with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, Kay Beach. She's adding all kinds of goodie because we need it. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, and in studio is Thomas Costanzo, otherwise known as
Morpheus.
You know, that's how Thomas and I got to know each other when I first started doing radio back in 03. You know, he's out in the audience and he saw one of our signs up or billboards or something and he started listening to the show and he'd always call in Morpheus from Anthem, you know, in North Phoenix up there. So I was, and then eventually we met and became friends and he got involved. He's one of those hardcore, knows just enough to go get himself in trouble. That's what happens.
And I do that frequently.
And, you know, hopefully you've learned your lesson.
Or in the past I've done that.
Yeah. Let's keep from getting dead. You know, this weekend, I was busy at my son's helping with landscaping. You know, me and my wife, my back hurts, man. We've been, you know, they moved into their home and it was a, you know, short sale kind of thing. So the lawn needed work. It's one of those, the worst house on the block, which, you know, means more equity gets to go up.
It's good.
And yeah, so they cleaned up the inside for like a week. Him and all his brothers and sisters going in, getting everything. And I said, I'd take care of the yard. What a mistake. I mean, dang, I've been busted by it. It'd take me another week to finish that. But grandbabies get some, you know, a nice new pool fence up so they don't die. That's got Don all freaked out. Want to make sure they're good. And then green grass to play with. We love grandpa. Okay, that's what's going on. It's all about me. So what we'll do is we'll get that. I'll take care. But I was out of the loop all this weekend with the 9/11 stuff going on. I didn't even get to watch football. You know, I didn't. By the time I got home and watched the tape delay, I fell asleep. Hey, Cardinals won anyway, whatever. So then we got 9/11. There was a lot of things being done here. People were making all kinds of different packets, going to different events, passing out stuff and so on. So what was your claim to fame this weekend? How'd you get almost arrested?
Well, I didn't get almost arrested, but we had some encounters, some interesting encounters over the weekend. First, we went to the Patriots Day kind of celebration. Oh, we got to sell stuff. It's like Christmas for 9/11. You know, we're going to sell stuff. And we have some speakers, Mike Broomhead and John McCain is at this thing. And so we go there with our big, gigantic sign, that new portable billboard that we just created.
Yeah, it's like five sheets of 4x8 coroplast. And on one side it said, what was it on the...
Creating tomorrow's problems today. You're Arizona legislators.
Yeah, so it had, you know, like an elephant and a donkey. What was amazing to me, we had people complaining. They go, well, you don't criticize the Democrats. And we're like, what, you don't see the donkey on there? I mean, we had the elephant and the donkey. It was a Freudian thing there. You just feel guilty, you know, what's going on there?
People see what they want to see.
So you had that. Now, on the backside, you had white open area need to be taken care of. You got a big, giant billboard, and you have two sides.
Right.
So what'd you put on the other side?
So in big letters, it says 9/11 and on one line, it was an inside job on the second line.
Oh, that just made people mad.
Yes, it did. It really was very interesting to watch how the fireworks display when we went to the Patriots situation there.
Well, you say Broomhead, he's a conservative talk show host on a Clear Channel station here, and he... I know Mike, and, you know, he's one of them. I mean, you know, he's a nice enough guy, but he definitely toes the line. And that's how you get a job in Clear Channel. So he's out there, you know, doing his thing. You got McCain out there. Of course, they're, I don't know, what are they advocating, you know, kill terrorists? I mean, what are they doing?
I didn't really listen to anything they were saying. It was kind of a joke. But I guess it was started by a guy who sells cigars. He's the founder of this event, and he had it last year. And then after they had a few people on it, then they had more sponsors. So now this year they had even more people going to this thing. And it was,
well, where was it at?
It was on Pinnacle Peak and I-17 off of there.
Well, I mean, what was it? Is it
close
building?
To the ATS office, in fact.
Well, I mean, is that in the field? I mean,
no, they have a business area that's like a commercial area. And what was interesting is they said when we went there, we put up the sign, and one guy comes up and says, "Hey, you can't have that." Well, we're not leaving. Another security guy comes up. He's got a security guy shirt on. You guys got to leave. You're trespassing. And we're not leaving. Then the police. Well, no, actually, while he was getting the police, he came up and 4409 was videotaping, and he slams his hand into the camera, which really was an assault. Police, the jackbooted thugs, otherwise known as police, are right there, saw the whole thing, didn't do anything about it. You know, here a clear-cut assault situation, whereas the tables were turned, I'm sure, you know.
Oh, yeah, you've been in Guantanamo.
Yes,
have you guys
exactly.
Done it? Okay, so they have law enforcement come. You guys were on the public sidewalk, I imagine.
Well, supposedly, the police said that they actually rented the entire space, including the public sidewalk. Now, how a private person could rent the sidewalk and own the sidewalk was beyond us, but they said, if you don't move, we're going to arrest you for trespassing.
You know, it's almost worth trying, you know, because I'll tell you what our experience with this in the past. They had what they used to call Bank One Ballpark, and now Chase, you know, they keep changing the name because whoever goes bankrupt. But they have the Diamondback Baseball Stadium. Now, we had been in opposition, lawsuits, being a, you know, big woo-hoo about this because it was, it was unconstitutional as heck is how they were doing this, and that's another long story. But what happened was we know opening day. You know, we're going to be out there opening day on the sidewalk, and we passed out these, it was DB Jinx logo contest or something, you know, draw a thing that we then later made a big deal out of. And we were passing, people were taking them, oh yeah, the, you know, Diamondback contest, yeah, we're doing it going in, and it became a big woohoo. What happened was, is they go, well, you can't, oh, we're on the public sidewalk, we can do it, you know, come on, make my day, you know, we're willing to go and we're going to adjudicate this. Well, they didn't. They decided, okay, it wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. So what did they do? They sold the sidewalk to the baseball park, okay? They made it to where it was a private thing so that whenever there was a baseball game on the corner that the baseball stadium was, now from the curb to the stadium, now belong to the stadium.
No public.
Yeah, they'll still have the city, you know, is in charge of the sidewalk and fix the sidewalk. We'll pay for it. I mean, you know, but that doesn't matter. They just want to change it on a piece of paper so they can do that. Well, we made them do it. So now they're going, okay, well, we got to, all right, we'll rent this facility, including, okay, I want to see the check. I want to see the compensation that went to the city for them renting the sidewalk. I want to see the paperwork. So they always say this kind of stuff, but do they really do it? You know, that's where I come in. I go, so next time they do something, I go, oh, really? All right, well, let's go find out, and we'll go to Canelo, and then they drop the charges. And they do. So this is the kind of game that we play, because what they really want is you're not allowed to dissent, regardless of what the sign says. That's not the point. The point is that you are not allowed to complain. That's what I always focus on. You mean I'm not allowed to complain? If you eliminate the First Amendment, all you leave is the second. We're here advocating for peaceful assembly, and if you don't allow peaceful assembly, you got non-peaceful assembly. I mean, you know, JFK had a great quote. He goes, you know, if you those that would prevent peaceful revolution ensure violent revolution or something like that. You know, so I'm going, okay, so you're out there, and they finally, how long were you there before they finally convinced you it was time to leave?
Well, we just moved. We moved to the boundary of what they quote unquote rented, and then we set up on some sidewalk. Well, then we were there for a while. We're getting a lot of interaction from the crowd, very hateful and negative. And then they decided, well, we'll just get our American flags and stand in front of your sign with our American flags.
Well, makes good video.
Yeah, it makes for a great video, and I know they're working on it as we speak right now. So the they put up the, you know, but actually, really what it did is it drew more attention to the sign, because now, why are all these American flags there? Oh, it has this sign. So now all, it was having a reverse effect. So after a while, they're going, there's a whole big crowd gathered here because we have all our flags. Well, and then they were also revving up their motorcycles to show, you know, how big their, you know, what's were. And then after a while of us just standing there and then, you know, having some negative interactions, then they decided, well, it's time to go home. We're not getting to enjoy this festival of the 9/11 charade. And so they decided, well, we're all going to disband.
Well, how many people were there?
In front of us, probably a solid 30.
You know, if they want to play this game, we can play. You know, I mean, we got all of the video cameras and the ability to communicate with an entire planet. They used to have monopoly on that. They don't anymore. We'll be right back and talk about some more goodies going on here in town as hopefully an inspiration for your activism.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
To me, Ernest Hancock, and we got Morpheus in studio getting me caught up in all the goings-on this weekend. I just need to check. You know, I'm always getting an email or a text message or a phone call. So-and-so's arrested. You've been one of those guys, too, out at the football stadium, you know. Yeah, you're not allowed to stand there.
Right.
Stand over there, but not there, you know. So this is, you know, it's rare we go an event weekend without somebody getting arrested for something. Of course, they always just let them go. But, you know, they got to, you know, respect my authority. And then when they go ahead and press charges, here comes Mark Gay Victor. Here we go. We're going to play one more time. After a while, they just kind of like, that's why you guys always get the sergeants and lieutenants and everything. Come on. Oh, no, they got Levolution shirts on, man. We know where this goes. So how long were you at this Patriot event with all the politicians and so on?
Roughly 2 hours we were there. And then after we started breaking up, we disbanded.
And then where'd you go from there?
Then we headed down to Highway 51, which has a really neat pedestrian bridge that has no wall on it. The chain link goes all the way down to the concrete. And the way the sign was designed is that we needed that extra room in order to be able to see the whole sign. Or if we'd had a little lift off for the concrete, then we'd have to have the sign up higher, which wouldn't fit.
So you hook it to the fence or you hold it or
what?
Well,
we were holding it at first, but, you know, these panels are 4x8 sheets of Corplast with just little sticks of wood holding it up. And, you know, it gets old holding it up for 2 hours. So we tie wrapped it to the fence.
Well, that's where you get in trouble. You're not
allowed. Exactly. Yeah, you can't hook anything to a city property. That's the law.
You know, apparently. What happened is that they've been doing this before and they come out and they say, look, all right, this has been the rule from on high. You can have these panels up there and signs and do this all you want. As long as you don't attach it, you got to hold it up. Well, as time has gone on, these signs keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and they attach them. And they're going, nah, come on, you know the drill. You're not allowed. So who came up to you first? How long were you there before you started having law enforcement?
Well, we were there, I would say, probably about an hour, and we were just dancing. You know, finally, after we had them attached, I'm dancing around and waving my hat and getting the people to beep and stuff. And we were having a good old time. Several cops had gone by, and then they sent a dispatchment of 4 police officers to come and visit with us. They told us the call was there was 30 people on the bridge, is what the call said.
So?
Well, then they said 4 people. And then, of course, we weren't going to cooperate. The first thing is, who's in charge? No one's talking. You know, it's like, can I be silent here? Mm-hmm. And it was a move to, like, who's in charge? What's going on? How long are you going to be here? And very interesting display of, you know, we want to know what's going on, and we were just not cooperating.
Well, what's their response to that? They call my sergeant?
Sergeant comes.
And then same thing, and then what's he
similar
do?
Thing. You know, how long are you going to be here? Lots of phone calls, you know, lots of little huddle things. We're figuring out what we're going to do. And finally, he makes a call. Well, you guys can stand here, but I'm not too sure about you attaching it to the bridge. That's, you know, a major big problem.
Okay, so you undid it. And
so then after, yeah, undid it, and then we finally got a lieutenant to come over, and she gave us a little, you know, talking to. What was interesting, the sergeant, well, I'm going to suggest that you call the police community guys, which we know very well, and like, okay, thank you for your information. Now have a nice day, Mr. Police Officer, Jackbooted Thug.
Be nice.
I was being nice.
You know, they've gotten to know us. I mean, mm-hmm. They know that we're not violent. We don't go messing up any. You know, that's one thing that was very, very, very interesting. I don't remember throughout history that there wasn't, I wouldn't say vandalism, but more graffiti or more permanent damage or something like that in movements in the past 40, 50 years, people spray painting whatever or something. This Levolution of the past few years, I can't remember ever being anything like that. It was always, you know, no damage to anything. You know, somebody might have had to go up there and, you know, do a zip tie and take a sign Ooh. Off or something. But, you know, there's no damage. There's no graffiti. There's no stencils on federal buildings or something, which is death now, you know. And you think I'm kidding, man. So after Oklahoma City,
this at home.
Yeah, you know, after Oklahoma City, it was any damage or defacement of, you know, it could have been death penalty.
Wow.
That it was death penalty.
Yikes.
You know, and I'm going, wow, because the death penalty is a state thing. You know, it's not a federal. I think the only time you have a federal something like is treason. And, you know, they're saying, man, you go spray paint a federal, but that's treasonous. Boy, you're going to skip Guantanamo. You're going straight to dead. So I'm going, okay. You know, it just gets, so we knew 15 years ago, I mean, how bad these guys, you know, how much they wanted to control. You will respect our authority. And they came up against, are you sure you want to play this game? Well, I don't know how they're approaching. So what we do is it's been over 15 years. Al Ramirez from the Phoenix Police and Brian, his supervisor, some of the other guys I know and so on. I've been, look, one of these days they're going to change them. They're going to get some other guy, barrel-chested, I'm on steroids, and he's not going to be as kind. I'm just waiting. I just want to know, are we allowed to dissent openly, publicly, the middle of day, broad daylight, on an overpass of a freeway, holding a freaking piece of coroplast? That's all are we allowed to do that? When we can't, that'll be a day.
That's when the rules will be changed.
That's when, you know, you want to do this you're not allowed to be peaceful. I just need to know when that happens. I just need to know. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people that we know have been, the only reason they kind of leave us alone here, they've been here at the workshop a couple of times. They come by the office. They know we're here. We're all up front. Hey, how you doing? Whenever you see these guys, you know, they know Morpheus, man. Hey, Thomas, what's happening? You know, all right, what are we in for today? You know, and we have the Liberty on Tour guys that have the big RV, has Freedom's Phoenix all over it. And they're coming.
End of September, aren't they?
Yeah, it's the 22nd, so it's like next week.
Oh, wow.
Middle of next week. So next week they're coming, and I called them. I told them, I said, Al, look, man, they're going all over the country. They're getting arrested. They're getting videotaped. They're making the cops look bad. They're just, you know, you're not allowed to videotape because you're not, and I want your ID, and I'm not giving it to you. I'm not doing anything wrong. Okay, you're arrested. We take your stuff. They give it back, blah, 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 blah. They go through all this stuff, and they just look bad. I go, can we have Phoenix not look bad? Can you just, like, you know, let them, okay, you're exercising. We know who you are. It's all good, you know. Just not look bad. Because I go to the other site, libertyontour.com, and their other site is called Cop Block, where all the videotape, I go, that's the one where everybody gets famous, okay? So, or infamous. So I'm going, look, can we just let these guys exercise their right, and we'll just, and you be heroes? They go, absolutely, man. Well, thanks for letting them, we'll get it all taken care of. I go, afterwards, we'll send them over to Mason, Scottsdale, let them get the crap beat out of them. Let them do it. But Phoenix, Freedom's Phoenix, you know, it's all good. We'll just be good guys. And he's like, all right, so we'll see what happens. But this baseline killer thing that, you know, we've been going heavy on the last couple of weeks is really starting to take its toll. And they need some good press.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to the Breakfast Club Saturday?
No, I had something else I went to. I'm going to watch the video of Mark Victor.
Yeah, we got it up on Freedom's Phoenix. Mark Victor is my partner in the Freedom Summit, freedomsummit.com. Make sure you go. I mean, you want to know what's happening. I got to really push this Freedom Summit thing. We'll be getting some radio ads up and so on for it here this week. But I'll tell you this. If you had gone to the Freedom Summit starting in 2001, you would not have lost 50 to 70% of your wealth over the past decade. You would not have been subjected to the economic bank robbery of everybody's. And what are they talking about now? They want to nationalize everyone's retirement accounts. You got a pension fund. You got. We're going to take care of it. It's all ours now. We're going to manage it. We're going to take care of it. Don't worry about it. You know, they're going to do that. And you know why? Why are they going to do that?
Because they can.
Because they can. When you get to that realization that it took me years to figure that out, why are they? Because they can. I'll tell you when that saying came out. I don't know if you know this story. We, when we had our restaurant, we would have to. Our home was on the other side in a place called Sunny Slope, which was a lower income area of North Phoenix up here. And late at night, 10 o'clock at night, we drove, that way from where our restaurant was to our home. I mean, it was like clockwork. A week didn't go by before, I was pulled over and stopped. You're driving around after 11 o'clock at night. You're getting stopped, okay, in this area. So one time, it wasn't even late at night. It's just been building up. They're always stopping, your license plate light's not on. You didn't, whatever reason they can come up with. So we'd have some fun with that and do a little activist thing. But one afternoon, it was light out. It was probably late afternoon, like 5 o'clock or something. We're driving down one of the main roads, me and my wife, and they just pull me over again. And she goes like this. The officer comes up to the window and she goes, and this is Donna. I mean, she is a mild mannered,
housewife.
Yeah.
She's
not, getting all irate. She goes, "Why are you always pulling my husband over?" She yells at him. I'm like, "Hey, this is not going to help, I looked at him. I kind of gave him the eye, and I turned over Donna and I said, "Honey, because they can." And then I just turned back to him, and that really had an impact on him. And I always remembered the look on his face because I realized, because they can. We'll find out what else they can do when we come back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Morpheus. Morpheus from Anthems in studio. Thomas Costanzo, sales manager here at freedomsphoenix.com. And, Thomas does a lot of work. I mean, we're all trying to, a lot of people have no appreciation for how much behind the scenes, getting just our stuff to work. Our site is so complicated that it's just, and we've been debugging this thing for 5 years.
It's getting better.
Yeah, we make progress. I mean, it's just, cause you got to keep in mind, Freedom's Phoenix, the concept was born in my head back in 96, even before that, the logo, the concept, the name, the idea, how we wanted it to work as an activist tool. And we waited for broadband video. When video started being done on the internet in 05, that we came aware of that thing was kind of taken care of with YouTube. And so I go, it's ready. Cause I knew that the lamestream media, the media that's so last century, was so due to get their butt slapped.
And
I'm going, when is that going to happen? When any individual can immediately have more credibility than any of those high-paid talking heads up there from the networks. Because I, in the late 80s, when I first started paying attention, you just take the remote and I go ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS, ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS, CNN, whatever. I go click, 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 click. It's the same five stories for 250 million people every day. And I'm like, seriously? That's it? And what happens when you have experience going out and doing activism? You were part of the story. You were there. I'd take my kids out and so on. They'd be all the cameras and so they'd be involved. And I take them and I go, "No, let's watch the news." And I know what happened and what they say happened, two totally different things. My kids understood as preteens that the media lied every single time, even when it wasn't in their best interest. It's just like, it's like a habit. They just lie or distort or whatever because they can't.
And they can't help themselves.
They don't know anything different. They just want to keep their job, whatever that is. But what's amazing is whenever there's some big story and they need the other side, I'm in their speed dial, man. They're always calling me. All right, let's go. We need another side. Let me see, Ernie. So here they show up. They go up. You know, I'm visiting my daughter watching football or something. Boom, here they come on the H1N1 thing. Then they need something on the bailout. Then boom, here they come up in my house, NBC. They need something. They come because they always can count on me to have the other side. Wednesday, I speak before organizations called the Economic Discussion Group. And these guys are some of the big boy Politico, and there's some good hardcore anarchist libertarians in there, because the guy that founded it was, you know, was more Leonard Reed kind of, you know, let's just find out the truth kind of guy, and he passed away in his 90s. And then it's kind of, you know, the influence is going a little bit more neoconish kind of thing, and they have their season from September to like May, I think it is, and because it's hot. So I'm kicking off the season in a couple of days. I'm the feature presentation. And what are we going to talk about? The main goal was going to be, I was going to talk about the power of one. What can one person do? Okay, well, what issue do I want to bring up? Well, one person can really have just a big impact on some international, oh my God, issue that you can't get away with. You can't be on the other side of immigration. So I'm going to go the truth behind SB 1070.
And all the people, that's going to mess them up.
Oh, they are up. God. They don't want to, that, you know, but the guy scheduling it, you know, that's what the head scheduler that set this up is, a hardcore anarchist libertarian. Okay. So they're trying to get me under certain conditions. Well, it needs to be a conversation two way, and your presentation in the beginning needs to only be 5-10 minutes. And they're going to try and restructure it to get, because they already know what I'm going to say. Some of them were at the ABC, there's a breakfast club when I did this. So they're, I'm going to bring it on. Like I haven't been in a hostile environment before. I'm like, and I know all these guys, and I'm going, come on, you guys really want to play this game? But it's election cycle, and these guys are, you know, they're personal. You know, I'm bestest buddies with Kyle, McCain, Chadwick, Congressman, that kind of Republican Party thing. And I'm going, you guys want to play? Let's play. So this is, we do battle at many different levels, and a lot of us have been involved in many different issues with many different perspectives and organizations. You'll find that the hardcore, real inroads that we made inside the Republican Party were through the Levolution around Ron Paul's campaign. And the bad guys didn't like that. They did everything they could to insulate the actual party, the precinct committeemen and all. In your state, I guarantee, you know, if you've been involved in any way, you saw they did everything they could to get these young people that just wanted to share the truth.
Well, look at Nevada.
Yeah, no. That was, yeah, we can do a whole story on Nevada. But, you know, the thing is that the right, I don't know how many, and we did make a big impact on infecting them, but all they did is they just rallied the troops and took over the shiny badges of the structure and say, you know, our structure now supports this and not them, and just cut them out. I'm going, yeah, you guys get it yet? So where do we find most of our affinity towards whom? You know what I mean? It's the left. And a lot of that was anti-war. Well, where'd the anti-war movement go? It's starting to resurrect itself in opposition to Obama. You start seeing even Huffington Post, which is bought and paid for, you know, they used to be really good on, you know, really hammering on the Bush administration because they're really this Democratic Party thing. Ariana, I've had her on the show and so on, but she's definitely, you know, made sure that she's in with the boys. Well, on the left. Well, then you have like Raw Story and Common Dreams and Daily Call, all these other side, you know, the left perspective. They're starting to criticize the Obama administration because it's getting to where it's almost impossible not to. It's all the same guys in the military industrial complex, Wall Street, everything. Last Thursday, Pat Schwind had, how do you say Pat's last name?
Pat Schwind.
Yeah, Schwind. Pat has ended it because he's got to go find a job. I mean, the economy, he was a mortgage guy, and he's just got to, you know, had to put the, so the last program that he did, it's like a Thursday morning breakfast club thing that's done every 2 weeks. And Pal Gamble's always there participating and writing about it. Well, he had Marianne Jennings is a ASU law professor of economics or something, and she writes a column for the Arizona Republic often. Well, she's syndicated and so on. She's popular. And the issue was, is it ethical or is it like bad in a lot of different ways to just walk away from your mortgage? You know, oh, no, you can't do that. Then the whole system breaks down when people do that and so on. And the point that a lot of the audience is making is that, man, the whole thing was fraught with fraud from the beginning. So Michael Kilsky, an attorney and Arizona state chairman of the Libertarian Party and one of computer Uber geeks. He goes like this. He says, I don't see where the problem is. What? Aren't you a libertarian? He's a hardcore anarchist libertarian. And he goes, the deal on the mortgages is that when you sign that paper, you say, I am going to make this payment. And if I don't, the collateral is this house. I don't make the payment, you get the house. And they go, okay, you can have the house. And they leave. Well, you can't do that. He goes, hey, I didn't make the contract. That's the deal. That's what it says. You know, you get to keep the house if I don't make the payments. Okay, I'm not making the payments. Therefore, here, you can have the house. I never even thought of it that way. The contract was, the collateral was the house.
Well, you know, the other interesting thing about that same argument is they still have your promissory note. When you go backwards on your mortgage and they get the house, aren't you entitled to your promissory note back?
See, you're getting into all this legal stuff.
No, but think about it.
Well, promissory note, you got to define that. What does that mean? What does it mean
it's
if I get it back?
It's a promise to pay. It's a promise to pay. But if you still have it, then you could still collect on that money.
Well, they can't here. You know, that's part of the deal.
Right, but I want my promissory
now,
note back.
The problem a lot of people don't know is they stay there and they're going to do a short sale. Well, what they do is when they short sell the house, you owe, say, $100,000 on a house and they sell it for $80,000. Well, that $20,000 reduction, I mean, all of a sudden now you're liable for, or it's a reduction in the cost. It's considered a taxable event. So you got to pay taxes on $20,000. So it's better. I mean, everything, this whole thing is structured. It's better to just, okay, here are the keys. It's yours now. Walk away. That was the deal. Well, Michael brings this up. He goes, look, the deal is that if I didn't make the payment, you got the house. Okay, I'm not making a payment. Here's the house. And they freaked out on that one. I don't know if they've been hiding that or they didn't realize that or it never came up or something. But Michael made that point. I'm going, wow, that's a game changer in just the ethics of it. Because the deal was, what is the contract? The contract is, I don't make payments, you get the house. Okay. I don't make payments anymore. Take it. Well, they're not even foreclosing anymore or doing anything. They want people there so people aren't in there stripping out the copper. You know, they're not tearing it up. They're keeping the, you know, Bible. And here in Arizona, we have on the front page of Freedom's Phoenix today, they're talking about 67% of the homes here in Arizona are negative equity.
Wow.
You know, so what's going to happen? Well, I don't know. And then the economy's getting ready to go. We got all this stuff up on Freedom's Phoenix today's archive of this show for September 13th. You go up there, afternoon show, and you go in there, and you'll see all the stuff we're talking about, including, I don't know if you heard this in the first hour, I brought this up. Insiders are selling 650-1 stocks. The inside people that are CEOs of corporations and so on, they go, the end is nigh! Bail, bail! We are.
Give me a bucket.
And this is all public information. You know, so protect yourself. Are you still got your retirement and everything in the stock market? You think it's up? Get out of the house, man. The call came from inside. Get out. Well, thanks for sharing your time with me today. I want to thank the young man, Mike Koninger, for bringing up the Bill of Rights. Did it really do what we thought? Or did it just make eminent domain part of the government's authority? Oh, that was a good argument. And Kay Beach. You want to read Kay Beach's articles on the Oklahoma City bombing, and here comes the documentary. Ooh, that'd be a game changer, too. We'll talk to you tomorrow on The Read to You.